Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Here in Digramar.fm. It's the 15th of January, 2026. Our second show of the new year. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi, everybody.
And again, it's the second week of the year. It's for our show, our second show of the year. It's a pretty brutal week. Let's see, what's the rundown this week? A few dead citizens, a standoff, constant law enforcement riot slash protester standoff in Minneapolis, the threat of taking Greenland and breaking up the World Security Alliance, or the Western Security Alliance and NATO. And all of the ancillary threats to the way business flows and the way the internet works and tons of stuff. And we're going to try to forget all of that is happening as much as we possibly can through our coverage of a whole bunch of other technical stuff in the show. But it's pretty hard to forget all that stuff is happening when it kind of overarches everything that we talk about. But in the meantime, if you're trying to leave a review of a hotel in Google, in the Google search desktop interface, you might have a problem because the Google Hotel Knowledge Panels, there's a bug when it comes to writing reviews. Posting reviews is currently turned off for the desktop interface. You can do it in Google Maps and in hotel search, it works, but not in the desktop interface. So, hey, Christine, there might be a bug at a Google feature.
There's a bug?
There's a bug. It's been reported.
No way.
It's okay. Top minds are on it.
Just so people know, we now have an announcement section in our grid. We've had it for a little while because of mostly bugs, sometimes updates.
Mostly bugs at Google. But, you know, I got another announcement. This is an announcement of thanks. Audience Key and Wix Studio are the sponsors of the show, and I just want to, you know, throw out a heartfelt thank you to both of them.
Yeah, they're great, both great sponsors and with great tools that are very helpful.
Okay. So we have a section, we also have a section in our story grid called Stories from the Abyss. Our preface is, as always, we have a front row seat to the way tech and search and AI is affecting the information sphere. We've had this front row seat for 17 years, 18 years in Webcology. And it's kind of one of those, you got to report it as you see it things. And we, again, I've been on the cutting edge of technology and again, sitting right on the side of it. It's like sitting on the side of an NBA game where we are that close to the people who are doing these things. And good God, Grok. Kiddie porn, just doing it, and it's cool because you know it's Grok, and non-consensual images of women being published and distributed all through the, you know, X network by Grok, and it's okay because it's Grok, you know. Grok,
you know,
and now Grok it has access to the Department of Defense. Oh, I'm sorry, Department of War.
Yes. Well, no, it's officially the Department of Defense. I don't want to give that credibility. It was never changed by Congress.
I'm with but, you.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to call it. It's not. But, you know, thank you, Jim. You caught me because that was one story I knew I forgot to put in. I couldn't remember what it was. And it was that one probably because my mind wanted to erase the whole thing.
Well, I mean, in this case, we don't even need references, you know, because I think we can just talk out this story. Like, God, this is happening and it's continuing and they know what's happening and they let it continue.
Well, what's so insane about this one is, for those that don't know, the Department of Defense, Hedge Seth, who's the head of it, has decided in his AI program that he is going to give Grok a large language model, full access to not only unclassified Pentagon documentation, but full classified Pentagon documentation. And as Jim and I have said many times on the show, don't put anything in a large language model. You wouldn't want someone to be able to find out, because they're notoriously bad at things like security. But also, once it goes in the model, you can't take it out of the model. It's not possible. So we're going to put our secrets in there. I'm going to get to a story in a minute, but I'm just going to briefly mention it. With things that can't be protected, because there's a new research paper from OpenAI saying invisible prompt injections, they don't think they can ever fix the issue. So we're putting our top secret stuff into a large language model where it can never be removed, that can be accessed by text.
There has to be guardrails here. Like, I can't believe that there aren't a massive fence between the rest of the world and the version of Grok that has access to, like, the Pentagon.
Oh, I'm sure there's a massive security between the world and getting to the Grok system internally. I'm sure that's true. But all you have to do is get someone into the system who has access to Grok, and we know the guardrails are not secure because it's text-based, not hacking like we think of hacking. It's, can I get around the guardrail protection, which 99% of the time anyone with a really good set of skills could probably do. That's a number I'm just pulling out of my own brain there. But it's incredibly dangerous. I don't know what we're thinking. I don't know why no one's trying to stop it. And I don't know why we're doing it and giving it to a model that Elon Musk controls. Elon Musk doesn't even have a security clearance to see his own company's products, his own company's innovations. He was denied it by the internal reviewer. They put somebody at Grok X to review clearances, and he was denied a clearance to go to the next level of product they're creating for the government.
There's rumor out there that Musk doesn't have clearance to see some of his kids.
That's true too. But he literally would not have clearance to see this stuff. So we're going to let him put it in a model that apparently, you know, the head of the Department of Defense does not understand. And I just...
Is it one of those models you got to, like, glue together because he could sniff that stuff, you know?
I probably think so. Oh, yeah, I've been reading people in the security and AI industry on LinkedIn because I follow a bunch of them, and they're all just gobsmacked. They don't know what to even make of it. So it's incredibly dangerous.
If it's a model that you got to glue together, you can sniff the glue and get your answers that way. So the best minds of our generation are now Grok. Grokified.
And also Grok, remember, did that training recently on disinformation sources. So that makes that even more wonderful. So the Pentagon's going to use a predictive text model, which is wrong quite frequently, to assess things inside the Pentagon.
For the record, Canada is not banning X over the allowance of child porn and non-consensual images of women through the X system. There was talk that the UK, France, and Canada would get together and ban X at the same time. But as it turns out, each of our governments are terrified of the repercussions of banning X because Elon and President Trump are talking again. But there was very serious talk in Ottawa, in Paris, and in London about jointly banning X because of non-consensual images of women and the kiddie porn thing. By the way, X is distributing kiddie porn.
They did say this week that they have a fix for it, possibly. I didn't put it in the grid because it wasn't a definite. Mm-hmm. So I don't want people to take their guard down thinking it was fixed, but it may not be fixed. But they say they think they have a solution, so we'll see.
I have a solution right now. It's a little bit onerous, and it definitely puts the onus on women and on parents of children. Remove all of your images of yourself from the internet. Do it now.
It doesn't even matter because they can just generate it from your, you know.
If they have a photo of you, indeed. But don't let the pikers get the photo of you. That's the whole point. Like, it's not safe anymore to have a photograph of yourself enjoying yourself with your family online anymore because somebody's going to nudify you if you do. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's even crazy to have to think that way, isn't it?
if Grok won't do won't take or I'm sorry, if X and Grok won't take responsibility now, the only solution is to not give fuel to the fire.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a reasonable fix just because...
Of course, it's not a reasonable fix, but it's the only one that's out there for people.
Just because people have so much that have been online for so many years, it's already been ingested.
Well, and these are the choices that the technologists are leaving people right now. Freedom after freedom after freedom gets removed because, let's face it, nudes make money. True.
Yeah. Well, the asset could prevent their technology from... unjusting people, which is supposedly what they're fixing.
Yep. I'm absolutely positive they can if they really want to. I don't know why I'm positive they can, but I'm absolutely positive they can if they really, really want to. I just don't think they really, really want to.
No, I agree with that. I don't think they really want to either.
Yay. So there's every time search changes or the technologies behind search or the way search engines or information engines do things changes, there's huge speculative how to deal with it, DIY stuff that immediately comes out of different parts of the SEO sector. And a lot of the stuff that gets talked about when they talk about AIO or GIO or, you know, GIO or whatever acronyms we're using this week is, well, not real. It's made up. It's not, it's, you know, it's often well thought through fantasy, but it's not actually how things work. Danny Sullivan and John Mueller have a podcast, the Search Off the Record podcast, and one of the things that they want to do is really debunk the I'm going to call it an SEO myth or an AIO SEAIO myth about like trying to break up your content into little chunks so that I don't know, AIs can understand the context of it or something and not get confused. AIs can already do that. They're actually built to do that. So you don't need to do that for them. In fact, they really don't want you to because it really craps out your content.
Jimmy might need to talk for a second. I have a little bit of a coughing thing.
Oh, I was wondering what was happening.
Yeah.
Okay. So people are trying to make their content understandable, but in doing so, they're taking all the soul and all the interesting stuff out of their content. And that's not what Google wanted. Google wanted you to write stuff that was useful for people, that would be compelling for people. And again, don't try to break it up into little things because they've already created processes to do that and to understand what these little chunks mean based on the stuff that comes, you know, in the paragraphs before and the paragraphs afterwards. When you're writing your bite-sized chunks, incidentally, remember, those bite-sized chunks are really dependent on the introduction and the conclusion of whatever it is you're writing. It's the way the information flows that Google is very, very interested in, and they will extract the salient points, often based on what the user is interested in, not what you, the writer, think the user is interested in. Write for your users in general. Write really good stuff, get your facts right, and Google will, honest to goodness, like, let Google's machine do it for you. Right on, excellent.
Yeah, sorry, I just started coughing. I'm something in the air. So Danny also said, I kind of like this. And then Danny added, he can hear people listening to what he said and say, well, and I'm going to summarize this because it's a long quote. It is from Search Engine Roundtable. Well, it works, so I don't believe Google, and I'm going to do it anyway. And we've never heard that before, have we, in the industry? Sometimes no. It's actually true, but sometimes
indeed,
it's not.
You know, in your context, it might well work. Go for it.
Yeah, but because he's basically what he said indirectly is these systems are always changing, and so you could optimize for this other engine in like OpenAI or something, and then it's just useless. Like a month later, meanwhile, you've harmed your actuals. Searching Google, which is still going to be sending you, you know, 90% of your organic traffic most of the time, or more in most countries. So he said it doesn't, this chunking doesn't work with today Google search, and he doesn't want, they don't want people to do that. Google doesn't want people to do the chunking. So.
Well, again, I'm not even sure why SEOs are recommending this, because for years Google said we can do this. We can take like little points directly out of like a, we can take words out of a paragraph if those words make the point.
Passages was a Google algorithm that Cindy Krim has written a lot about. I think it was around 2017, 18. Is that around the time? Yeah, somewhere around there. So a lot of the stuff that people think is new is not. Google's been doing this on its own anyways. And the chunking is something that came from machine learning, but doesn't mean you should write that way. Use the machine learning knows how to chunk your content, not that you need to chunk it for the machine learning. As Dave Davies would always say, if you're smarter than 30,000 Google MIT engineers, go for it.
Indeed. And again, like, don't chunk it out. Let Google do it for you. Okay. So we reported on this a while ago, and I guess they're just kind of making it official now. Apple Intelligence and Siri are going to be Gemini, followed by Gemini. They're going to be their own personalities, of course. Siri's always had its own personality. But behind the personality, the brains, is going to be Gemini. Some people feel two ways about this, Elon Musk being one of them. Actually, Elon, I think, feels a little bit left out in the cold. In a tweet, around the subject, Elon is like, this seems an unreasonable concentration of power for Google, given they also have Android and Chrome, says the richest man on Earth.
He's always aggrieved, pretty much. The quote from Google is, joint statement, Apple and Google have entered into a multi-year collaboration in which the next generation of Apple Foundation models will be based on Google's Gemini models and cloud technology. These models will help grow, will help power future Apple intelligence features, including more personalized Siri coming this year. After careful evaluation, can't speak today, sorry, Apple determined that Google's AI technology provides the most capable foundation for Apple Foundation models and is excited about the innovative new experiences it will unlock for Apple users. Apple Intelligence will continue to run on Apple devices and private cloud compute while maintaining Apple's industry-leading privacy standards. One thing I'm curious about in the next statement is Google's paying Apple $20 billion to be a default search provider of iOS and other Apple platforms, just not what? Search? Because remember, they weren't allowed to do that. From that court case, or am I remembering it wrong?
They're not allowed to be to pay to be the exclusive search provider. The default search provider, I don't know if anybody said anything but default search providers. Like, go ahead and change.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Lawyers will break it down into.
They're going to get burned. No. Like seriously, they will. If somebody really wanted to like split hairs on this, I think Google stepped over the line, but. How much money do you want to have? How much money you got to, like, you know, prove it? So yeah. Apple, and incidentally, who's going to do it? Is the U.S. Department of Justice really, this U.S. Department of Justice really going after the tech oligarch for breaking the rule? I don't think so.
No.
Oh, by the way, I need to correct myself. I called Elon Musk the richest man in the world.
Oh, that's right. He's not a mistake.
No, he still is. He by far the richest child porn distributor on Earth. And also the richest person on the planet. But it's important to refer to him by his chief occupation, which currently is distributor of child pornography.
That's gross. I thought someone had surpassed him.
He's got to stop. I mean, honest to God, they got to stop doing that. Or I'm going to keep calling him child porn distributor because that's what he is. And it's offensive.
It is very offensive.
Okay, it's dangerous and alarming. That's what I think. Elon Musk, you're being dangerous and alarming. And that's what actually Google says about some of the AI summaries that have put its users' risk health at risk. Incidentally, this is what a responsible company does. And I can't believe I'm saying this about Google necessarily. But this is what a responsible company does when it finds that its technology is harming people.
Yeah, so, this was a Guardian. Oh, sorry.
No, go. Oh, please.
This is a Guardian piece. The Guardian did some research on AI overviews, actually a full investigation, and it found that it was giving out some very unreliable and dangerous information on its AI overviews for health information, which, I mean, it's just common sense because, again, I don't know why it's always overlooked in, by big tech, but they're built on a model that hallucinates, that says things wrong, and it can never be fixed because it's the math. And that's done from research papers. That's not me saying that. So, like, why would you put health information in a and have a predictive model that can be wrong frequently? I tried once. This is just a little thing. I tried to identify a pill that I had that had fallen out of the container, but I didn't know which one it was. So I took an image and put it in Google Lens with the number on the pill. So it should be really easy to identify, right? But because every number is just its own mathematical symbol in that it sends back, not a word or not a set of numbers, it didn't know what it was. It pulled back the wrong one three times. It never pulled back the right one.
You know, in some neighborhoods, that makes for an interesting afternoon.
Yeah, mine are not fun. I have no fun medication. But so they found that they're quite erroneous. And but because Google has a 91% share of the global search engine market, according to The Guardian and their article, they thought it was important. So I don't know if they sued Google or if they just brought it to their attention, but Google did start removing.
No, I get the impression here that they just brought it to their attention because when Google wants to take responsibility for something, and then again, being transparent about this, saying we screwed up and we're fixing it is by far the best position you can take when it comes to other people's health. Like, we screwed up demonstrably, you can prove it, but you know what? We're not screwing up anymore because here's what we're doing. It's eating the Tylenol pill in marketing, but it's a smart thing to do. And it's taking, again, when Google doesn't take responsibility, it doubles down. When Google takes responsibility, it's straight, like, you got to sue them to get them to do something. Google right here is doing it.
Well, it did kind of both. Because Guardian looked at some ones that were completely wrong and went back to Google, and that's why those had not been removed. And their spokesperson said, our internal team of clinicians reviewed what's been shared with us and found that in many instances, information was not inaccurate. It was also supported by high quality websites.
In many
instances. They doubled down and removed.
I wanted them to be the responsible one so badly. Damn it, Google.
We all need some hope. But at least they did some. So at least it wasn't nothing. But.
Okay. OpenAI is... this is actually a story that we could have covered back in the old year, but people are still talking about it here in the new year. So OpenAI is admitting, and this is actually a serious problem that needs to get solved, that prompt injection is a problem that may never get solved, which is a kink in the cogs, perhaps even a spanner in the cogs of the entire agentic AI vision. What is prompt injection?
So there's two types of direct prompt injection and invisible. Invisible is the one that's the most difficult to protect against. It's basically just any text that the LLM sees and it gives us instructions and then it acts. So it's not like, I think people think this is like, oh, well, whatever. It's like hacking. No, it's not though. It's like I could send Jim an email in Google and Gmail and have text in there that tells it to go take stuff out of its Google Drive. And if there's an OpenAI connector there, I think they might have fixed this one issue, but if they've been found to still exist, then it could go into Jim's drive and take everything. And there's no protection because it's not a hack. It's not a virus. It's not malware. It's simply text. And there's no way for the models to know the difference between just text and nefarious text. So I could go to a website, Jim, and it could have HTML comments with nefarious information in it, like to attack your site. And if there's an agent available for it to do it, it will do that, right? So it's, I mean, I make it sound more simple than it is. I mean, it's not just, oh, I just write this and it does it. But there aren't a lot of whole other steps between you and that. So when they talk about agents, really, if you're going to run agents, they should be run on a separate computer that is not used for anything else and you stay logged into nothing. And you use one and you shut it down because it is really this prompt injection issue can't be solved according to the AI experts. Like I said, I follow on LinkedIn is because it's math. So I mean, the hallucinations can't be solved because it's math. It's because it's not, because it was never intended to be what they're trying to make it into. Like, there's no such thing as really AI search, because AI search is just a RAG model to try to reduce hallucinations. So it was never intended to be this big commercial product online in this, where it was originally developed. So the map that created it has natural vulnerabilities in it, because they didn't need to protect for them for the original intent of what this was. So unfortunately, now that it's been turned into things like search engines and agents, unfortunately, it leaves you very vulnerable to getting attacked. And you may not know the attack ever happened. Unless, like, they take money out of your bank account or delete your Google Drive or steal information out of your email or PPI information from health records because you connected it to their agent. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Hallucinations happen. They don't happen as frequently as they used to happen in the earliest days of LLMs. For what it's worth, I can remember the early days of search, and heck, I remember even recent days of Google, when traditional algorithmic search was wildly inaccurate too. Difference being, AI search feels like it has personality, like it's, you know, having a conversation with you, where the wild inaccuracies in traditional search could be picked through and there'd be accurate results as well.
It's slightly different though. They haven't, I hate to push back on Jim on one thing, they have not gotten better than models. The models have gotten worse. So OpenAI's first model was only, that it released to the public, was 16% erroneous. And now in its documentation on its website, it says 35% to 48% inaccurate. And it stopped trying to be accurate. It's just trying for contextuality, so you figure out that it's true or not. So it's not just like, it's not, they haven't gotten better, unfortunately. They've gotten worse. The RAG model helps it from writing stuff that's wildly erroneous. So that's gotten better, but, and some of the other things they've done, but it's still wrong 35% to 48% of the time. And that's from ChatGPT itself. And every model has a different level of error, but none of them are like, I don't think any of them are below 20%.
Do you have figures on that? Like, honestly, I would love to see.
Yeah, I'll just show you I'll have to show you after the show, because I don't know exactly where it is. Yeah, I read it like last month. So,
yeah, I would very much like to see a dashboard of that. Because this will be one of the very first technologies, incidents of technology that's gone backwards and gotten less useful over time. Actually, let me rephrase myself. There was Facebook. okay. So anyway, Bing got caught with a pretty heavy hallucination that actually may have had international relations implications. In a recent incident, Bing's co-pilot hallucinated a football game, a football intelligence report between West Ham United and Maccabi Tel Aviv. And the big problem that, according to the article, and then the information Copilot was putting out, was that the Maccabi fans were rioting, were very violent. The Israeli Tel Aviv fans were incredibly violent. The thing is, there was never a football match between West Ham and Maccabi Tel Aviv. It didn't happen. The Maccabi fans were not violent because they weren't there. Didn't happen.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous part about hallucinations. Also, data poisoning. So I didn't put this in the degree because it'd be too long of a story. Plus, it's not fully formed out yet, but there is a large group, and I forget which group, because I thought it'd be affiliate marketers. I'm not being funny. I mean, really, I thought it would be for, you know, what they sell. But there's a large-scale data poisoning going on right now in one of the models, and this kind of thing could actually be from something like that. I'm not saying it is from that, but it could be something like that.
There's absolutely no way affiliate marketers are going out of their way to poison, like, the LLMs, because, goodness gracious, how easy to make web pages?
Of course, no way. Because then they can put in their brands, and they can have you know, like, they can write stuff about that.
You mean they're being SEOs?
No,
in the environment, they're just using the environment and throwing their information in so that they came out number one.
Right, except they're maybe putting in fake information and stuff like that.
Well, you know what? There's a whole but. I mean, I consider myself a information white hat. I'm really, 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 and then you are too, Christina.
Me too. Yeah, yeah.
You're really into a pure information ecosphere. But let's face it, a lot of people in our industry aren't. They don't care. They care. No. Spam means sites placed above mine.
Yes.
So
which is fine. It's just a tactic. It's not illegal or anything. I just like the game of having rules and getting them to perform really, really well inside those rules. I've always preferred, like, even if I'm in a board game, I never cheat because it's no fun.
Or very big corporations who will sue my ass so badly if I get them in trouble. That's my deal. I follow the rules 100% because the people I work for scare me. Really, really scare me. The weirdest thing about the big corporations is they're really nice people. Except their lawyers. Like the people you talk to are always great. The techies you work with are like the top techies. They're amazing. They're on stuff just after you've told them there's a problem. And the lawyers are terrifying. So yeah, I always you follow the rules, especially if you're dealing with big companies, because their lawyers are scary.
Yes, very true.
And also because all their techies will call you out on it if you step later. And you want to be friends with the techies at your corporation because you rely on them. Okay, this I think is probably the biggest story, or we're getting to the biggest story of the week. And you know what? It's going to almost be one big story because it's a couple different things, but it's all about Google Gemini and changes in the way Gemini and Google's AIs are going to be working out in the public ecosystem. The first one we're going to be talking about is personal intelligence in Gemini and how this is coming into Google search and AI. So you are a big profile at Google. You are a dossier, and that dossier has several different folders inside of it. Those folders could be all your Gmails, all the Google Docs you've ever worked on, your YouTube and search histories, all the photos you've ever taken and stored in your Google Drive, and all, oh, by the way, your Google Drive, your Google Sheets, all that stuff. It's all you. It's all part of your big dossier. And Gemini can connect information from all of that in AI mode. And, well, it's coming to AI mode real soon. Neat, eh?
And for people like me that don't find it so neat, because I don't want Google to have all that information on myself, combined and connected, you can. It is turned off by default. You can even specify which apps to connect. And it's only in beta for now, so it's not in the workspace. I'm gonna guess, I don't see where it says where it is, but it's probably gonna come to labs first, wouldn't it? I think, this week it's rolling out to Google AI Pro and AI Ultra subscribers in the US. Once enabled, it works in web, Android, and iOS with all the models of the Gemini model picker. And there'll be a free tier soon for Gemini users. And then we'll then bring it to AI mode to Google search. This is from Search Engine Roundtable, personal intelligence in Gemini, and soon in Google Search AI mode.
Look at the very last line in the pre-seed that you set up in our grid, and tell me how much control Google's really going to be giving you.
I mean, who knows?
Here's your opt-in and opt-out, folks. The use of feedback via thumbs up and thumbs down buttons.
Well, they do have feedback, but they do have it is default turned off, so you will have to turn it on. But with your permission, Gemini can now securely connect information from Google Apps like Gmail, Google Photos, Search, and YouTube History with a single tap to make Gemini uniquely helpful and personalized to you. That's from Google.
Yeah. So anyone who tells you that SEO is dead because of AI mode and because of generative responses, remember this story. Google is integrating core search signals into AI experiences. Now, Christine, what's a core search signal?
Core search signals. You know what, though? It doesn't say ranking signal. Just this core search signal. So you ever heard it said without ranking in there?
No, but I was assuming it was the same thing. A core search signal. Ranking doesn't matter anymore. I mean, Google's not going to be using that word anymore. That's for
both. No, that's not true. It does matter in organic. They still use ranking signals in organic. But yeah, that's why I was just pointing that out, though. It's not a core ranking signal. It's a core signal because they don't rank things in AI mode or AI overviews. So basically, it's just a core signals Google uses to determine your pages are of quality to surface them. And search, they're going to now do it from AI overviews and AI mode. I think they've been testing that. It just wasn't official. Like at first, like how do we determine quality? Because we all know, because we always love to tell the story, Jim. But when they first came out and they had no controls on quality or RAG to make the responses not go crazy, you drank a gallon a year and you could cure your kidney stones. So this is a way to help make sure.
Now, but also, Christine, if you one of those breakthroughs, you really do want people to be drinking urine and eating kidney stones, kidney stone pie, getting the technical aspects of your site absolutely right increases your chances of getting your recipe for kidney stone pie in the point being like Google is saying straight out, technical SEO and you know, good clean page builds, they want a good garden to come and cultivate and to grab information from. And so the better your garden, the stronger your environment, the better your chances of seeding information or having information seeded through the knowledge bases. That's how I'm reading this.
Yeah, and Google does say, I didn't see this quote by Robbie, he does say search core ranking signals are used for this purpose of trying to keep things from being inaccurate. But I'm still going to say it's only a signal. It's not a system. So a signal is just like, oh, this is like how we might rank them, not like this is how they're going to be ranked when you show them in AI overviews.
Oh, sure. And different signals may fire under different circumstances. Certainly.
True. Yeah.
But, and this has always been an SEO thing. I mean, SEO has always been sort of a shotgun thing as well as a we try to be laser beaming thing, but we're really a shotgun thing. Get all the signals right. Get all of the aspects, the elements of a website as close to optimal as possible. And all of the signals you'll be sending Google, depending on, you don't know which ones they're catching, but all of the signals you send to Google are stronger.
Yeah, and also another thing, Rob, there's an interview here. People should go read it at Search Engine Roundtable, very short. Google integrates core search signals, can't speak, into AI experiences. They also basically refer to fan-out queries. He doesn't say fan out queries, but he says that, and someone recommending or giving you overviews is using information and linking to information that others have found helpful or useful to that question in the past. And then it's talking about relating the topics and the rest of the interview. So one, they're using obviously, or most likely, we don't know for sure it's exactly the same system, but NavBoost type of signal. And then, which is where they, you know, stuff has engagement in the past. And then entities and something. It's very important to use entities right now. And entities is a little bit different than keywords because I may think something's a keyword because people have searched for it, but entities is what Google has in its vector database. And the entities are related because they're all mathematically put in there. So if I have iced tea, mathematically, they're going to be linked closely together because they're commonly seen together by other, you know, in documents that have been trained on. If I have iced Rubio's tea, iced and tea will be very close together mathematically, but the Rubio's may not, because not a lot of people do Rubio's tea in the United States. So people use it, but they don't make iced tea out of it generally. So it's not like a known quantity. So you really want to make sure you understand your entities. There are a lot of tools right now that'll help you find your entities and what entities are related. So Google has like a topic mapping with neural matching, which is another algorithm. So you could say all the Marvel characters in a document and Google will know it's related to Marvel, even if you don't mention Marvel. So when you're writing, you want to make sure you understand your entity structures, especially on important pages. Entities are just nouns, by the way.
Yep. Entities are things. Yeah, entities are identifiable things in Google's knowledge base. Okay. Incidentally, AI overviews, if you don't engage, you'll see them less. If you do engage, you'll see them more. This is all of these stories are from this really big interview that Barry did with VP of product at Google Search, Robbie Stein. Stein was saying the more often you use AI overviews, the more often you engage with them, the more often you'll see them. The less often you engage, theoretically, the less often you'll see them. There you go.
Interesting enough, I barely ever see them now on desktop. I was wondering why I never see them. It was really a test. And now we know, because I didn't almost never click on them in desktop search, sometimes in mobile, but never, almost never in desktop.
Okay. This is probably the, of all the stories we've been covering on Google, Google Gemini, how AI is going to be changing how it works with Google search and products. This is probably the biggest story of all. It's the direction Google is absolutely moving in. As they, you know, sort of take over various, they've been doing this for years. It's just,
shopping was safe.
Sorry?
Shopping was safe because you had to go there to finish your.
This is probably the entire quiver full of arrows, if you really want to think about it this way. Mm-hmm. It's called UCP, Universal Commerce Protocol. And it is the, protocol that in certain environments, usually the very biggies, big commerce, Shopify, goodness gracious, I'm trying to think of other very large platforms that aren't WooCommerce. We'll get to that in a second. Apple products, etc. Universal Commerce Protocol is basically a buy button in AI mode. It'll help you buy, it'll help you establish an account with whatever company or you're looking to buy a product from after you've searched and gotten a recommendation in AI mode. Now you got a buy button right there in your AI mode results or AI overview results.
Remember this, and so people need to know, this is an AI agent like we were just talking about. So it's a new open standard for agentic commerce that works across the entire shopping journey. Mm-hmm. Google wrote, and so it lets you connect your e-commerce store with agents to have AI agents check out your site. That means no visit to your site, but and that's why they probably added, Jim, we didn't have to talk about this today because it's ads, but that, you know, something not super important to those in general, but they're going to allow direct offers using abbreviations like BOGO, buy one get one free. Mm-hmm. That's what BOGO means. So they're going to be able to show the offer. You're going to be able to show the offer. And then they're going to use the agent to check out, which means skipping your site completely. So it's something you're going to have to test to decide if you want for your site. But remember, these agents are not secure. So.
No, but if you are in e-commerce and you're on one of the platforms that supports it, and somebody is going to buy a product, they're going to buy it. Then you have competitors. They're going to buy it from you, or they're going to buy it from your competitors. Who's getting it to them first? That's what I would, you know, that's what I would be thinking, and that's what I will be advising my clients. You want to be sure it's you getting it to them first, because I can assure you, your competitor will make more sales if they're using UCP and you're not.
But do make sure you check with your if you're working with a brand, make sure you check with the security team. And make sure it's okay to add it.
Of course.
These are not secure, so it could cause a problem for you. They partnered with, by the way, Shopify, Etsy, Wayfair, Target, and Walmart. And they're going to add it to the native checkout in Gemini app sometime soon. So
I got a feeling it's going to be fairly secure. Or Google would get sued pretty badly.
The problem with the agents, agent's the problem, not Google itself. So we'll see. I'll do some research for the next show and see what kind of security they're offering.
In case SEOs are terrified, and you know, should be a little bit nervous, especially e-commerce SEOs, should be a little bit nervous because change is scary. But how do you think that information is getting to Google? How do you think, like, you know, Google knows to make that recommendation? That's your work. It's your responsibility. So it's not going to kill SEO. It's going to change some of the jobs that you do. It's going to change a little bit of the focus, and it might even change some of the strategies in the long run. We don't know. This is new. We have to see how this plays out. But it's not going to kill the job. In fact, it's probably going to make the job even more important to it's probably going to make SEO even more important to the people who run e-commerce sites. Because again, as I said a moment ago, if you aren't doing this yourself, your competitor is, and whoever gets to the consumer first gets the sale.
So, and take it to the SEO, like in online SEO, social level, an SEO I said to John Mueller, well, I said where John Mueller could see it. I hate to bring this, but SEOs were going to be effed. John Mueller said, I disagree. John Mueller said he disagrees. When it comes to technology, it's always good to be nimble. It doesn't mean you should ignore UCP. It will be something that you should help clients set up so the customer wants to buy via AI can, but it won't be the only way customers buy in the future.
Look, I got a little secret to tell right now. I'm doing more leisure stuff in the day than I've ever done in my entire career. And I'm getting more done every day. And it's not because I'm using AI to do stuff. It's because the world has gotten easier for SEOs if you do your job properly. I'm not putting out the little fires I used to put out at the beginning of my career. I'm not putting out the little fires I was dealing with like 10 years ago. I'm going ice skating when the show's off the air today, Christine. And all of that is because Google, Bing et al. Are making our lives easier. Crawling is so much better than it was even 2 years ago, you know? So when, John Mueller's saying, adapt. And I'm going to say adapt and fly, not adapt or die. Adapt and fly. Go ice skating. Go tobogganing. I got 3.5 feet of snow that just fell in Toronto today. And as soon as the show's done, I'm going to go outside and play in it.
So cool. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Well,
I don't get that anymore.
Thank Google for this. Honestly. So, you know, I'm totally in with what John's saying because I think he's right. Could pick up more clients and work harder, but I'd rather go play in the snow, to be honest. Okay, where are we going next? I was so busy talking about playing in the snow, I didn't even segue into the next story.
I grew up in a place of snow, so I feel like one day I'm just going to find where a snowstorm's going and I'm going to fly there so I can enjoy it. Because in Las Vegas, we get snow every once every 2 years.
For what it's worth, it's negative 13 outside, so I'm only going to enjoy it so much.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty cool. So Google is adding Gemini to Trends and redesigning Trends. I do appreciate they're adding new information to Trends to try to make it easier for people to understand what to do with Trends. Because Trends, it's not really obvious a lot of the time what you're supposed to do with it. Well, for me and you, yeah, because you know, we've been doing this since Trends came out.
Put word in. See what word does. Find other words. See what word does against first word.
Exactly. It's just some minor changes. It's not massive, but it is nice.
Every time I show Trends to any of my clients, they're like, oh my goodness, really? And you're just like, well, it's been here like forever.
Yeah, I tried to think when it started, and I couldn't think of when it started.
It's been here forever, really.
They made it. They reimagined Trends. This is from the SEO Roundtable. They reimagined Trends Explore page to make it even easier for journalists, content creators, researchers, or anyone interested in search trends to find insights, get inspired, and dive deeper into a topic. I really wish they'd stop using AI to write their comments. are you getting inspired by Trends? Probably not.
From a point of view, from a writing, actually, yes, you can. Because have you ever like really, really just labored over how you're going to phrase a word, a phrase, a couple of words? Trends will save you. You want to know how they say it in Maine? Look how they say it in Maine. It's different than how they say it in Oregon. And Trends will save you.
It's a good research tool for sure. I just don't know.
For inspiration. No, yeah, man. Trends has removed the roadblock from my writing on more than one occasion. So it does inspire.
And Jim's a very, very, very good writer. So.
Trends is a great tool. If you get stuck and you don't know the word and you're driving yourself crazy, I'm telling you, bring up Trends and you may or may not solve your problem, but there's a good chance you will.
And
it's a scanning device.
Oh, sorry about that. They are adding Gemini, but they're not adding, because I was worried they're adding Gemini to like write the data or something, which is a mistake. But no, they're just using it to give prompts for you to further deep dive if you don't understand how to get the data out of it. So that's fine.
So more on AI, of course. And
this is a, by the way, this is a Google heavy episode. You might say that. because really this was the news this week. There was not a lot of other news. This is like Google, 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 and all the places we look for news.
I saw a piece, it might have been this week or last week. I think it was Forbes, could have been Business Insider. A year ago, you'd have said that Google was hooped, that that ChatGPT, one of the newer iterations, 4.0, or one of the other LLMs, you know, it looked like Google's competitors were about to eat it for lunch. But then Google suddenly got its mojo together in the last year. And this is why, I mean, Christine, this is why we got a whole spate of Google stories, and we're probably going to have a whole spate next week, because Google is just jamming the announcements at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and also we know that Google was able to make a chip for AI that is considerably cheaper than NVIDIA chips.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means they can invest more in compute power, which gives them an edge over other companies.
So the terrible position Google was in, and again, even I think a year ago, you could have argued that Google was in a rough spot. They've done what the smartest kids in the room tend to do. They turn themselves around. Pull themselves up by their bootstraps, Christine.
Yeah, and it was their paper that started all this. OpenAI read their dilettantes and debutantes paper, and I'm such a geek. I have a favorite paper, and that is my favorite paper from Google.
Okay. Anyway, someone's got to pay for all this. And that someone's going to be us, of course. Ads are coming to AI mode, and there is... Google is starting to give guidance on ads coming to AI mode. It's not going to be just direct offer, but explore guides and article ads. Anyway, watch this space. Watch announcements from Ginny Marvin, who is the or Ginny Maven, who's the a ads liaise from Google. AI mode ads is on the way.
And by the way, remember we talked about them putting ads in the middle of the page like Bing? I had that happen this week. It was really kind of weird. It was like ads, a couple things from Google, ads, and then like five links, which I thought was kind of rotten. But as they pushed down the actual blue links, like total of eight slots.
They'll do that.
Yeah.
They'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're worried about AI mode in checkout, raising prices, personalized upselling and stuff, people have been worried about that. Google says we can't do that. We never were able to do that. We wouldn't want to do that if we could. It would be really funny, but it's not us. It'd be really funny, but I made that.
Yeah. Yeah. Google's saying they don't do that. They're not allowed. Apparently, somebody posted something though that Elizabeth Warren reposted. That's where this all got started from, which I thought was quite interesting. So they strictly prohibit merchants from.
I love Elizabeth Warren as an economist, incidentally, but politicians, like, seriously, if you don't understand it, don't post it.
There are upsell modules, and that Google thinks people may be mistaking the upsell modules for. This kind of pricing, and what they're talking about is surveillance. I can never say that word. Pricing.
Surveillance pricing. Yeah.
Yeah, which is like they it can show up in real life. Like I think Wendy's was going to do it, and then they got so land-based they didn't. But they're going to change prices based on
up here in Canada. The grocery store Loblaws is doing it.
That's horrible. Like, no, they did it. Remember years ago that they used to do travel industry did that. They charged Mac users more than other users because they thought Mac had people had more money.
Mac users didn't necessarily have more money. They're just willing to pay more for the same thing.
No, but back
at the time, travel people were thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they're willing to pay more for the same damn thing, so we'll just sell it for more money. They'll pay it.
So people are thinking it's part of surveillance pricing, but it's not. It's just they're not allowed to do that in Google. So it's just probably upsell pricing that people are mistaking.
Okay. Okay, so we got to move on. We're rounding the corner on the show and also on the time for the show. But this one is a hard one, and it's like you didn't know it was happening. But it's one of those things that I guess as reported earlier, it's now official. News publishers can expect search traffic to drop by 43% by 2029, according to a recent report. It's according to Reuters, news gathering organizations, news publishers are going to see drops of 40, 43, at some, in some cases over 50%, as search continues to evolve into AI answer driven engines, and people don't click over, they just get the answer on screen. That's rough news, eh?
It is, but I mean, 2029 is a long way away with everything that's going on, and we know that Bing does a much better job of giving clicks to websites. So, you know, we think that Google could probably do that too. So we'll see. We'll see. But it is a bleak outlook. So, but the thing for bad for Google is people are going to start diversifying away from Google to get make sure they're on other platforms, and that's going to harm Google in the long run on ad buys. So
perhaps we'll see. Again, yeah. Google has this way of turning themselves around when things look bleak, eh?
Yeah. By the way, the next story is just real quick. I'm just going to take a second because I don't know where it came from, but apparently in the SEO industry and other areas of the world, people thought favicons and search are affected by core updates. I don't know why, because the favicons a piece of code you put in your page with an image,
it sees it. What's the deal?
Yeah, or you just put favicon if you're doing it that way. Yeah, so for some reason, people thought that it affected. Was affected by core update. It is not. Your rankings are, but it is.
The only way it would be affected by a core update is some tie to a super crawl, but that's silly.
Yeah. So.
Okay, there was another one. Now you just jumped over a story. At reasonable scale is fine. That makes sense. Okay, so there's been a big superstition, shall we say, in the SEO world that is actually rooted in a fact that was true several years ago. Several years ago, if you had, say, two websites that were in similar in content and obviously from the same company on the same class C, same host, you were almost certainly going to get burned for dupe content and for trying to deceive Google into it. Yeah. And they were linked together. You'd be, Google would think you were trying to deceive them. And I just wanted to jump in. That sort of has morphed into, if you link all your branded sites together, then Google's going to think that you're trying to like link spam them. But that doesn't make sense if your company actually owns multiple brands. Like, the public has a right to know that.
Yeah, they're talking about. So I actually asked Matt this question back in the day because we had travel sites, and I was asking if I could link them together in the footer, and he said absolutely not because the algorithm may misunderstand, not because Google said it was illegal.
But that was in 2013.
But I'm saying the difference is they're saying here, like on a corporate hub page, you could say these brands, or on a footer or an about page, you say these brands. You cannot link your sites together through all the links on the pages and, throughout the site. If I go crawl your site, it shouldn't have 1,000 links to your other sites.
Well, I mean, no. If you do that with like other people's sites, you're still going to get burned too. That's like just straight out link spamming.
Well, right, but if they detect that you're trying to do it on your own sites, they'll see it as link spamming. So
a network band.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I'm suggesting if you did that with six of your best friends, and you did it on all of their sites and all of your sites, and you all link together like that, doesn't matter if you're all not, you're gonna get banned.
Yeah, well, that could get banned, but what happens is Google will devalue the links that are coming. Now, back in Penguin days, you could lose your entire site. I know someone who did. They triangulated and that happened.
You will get kicked in the nads. How's that? Yes. Speaking of getting kicked in the nads. Okay.
We have a crazy end story for today, but I couldn't
last find... Last part of the day, it's actually kind of from the abyss as well, but it's kind of out of the abyss. Do you want the story? Because this was your story, and it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and, I asked him if we could cover it, and he said yes. So it's not in the major news.
This is great.
I'm sure it's not in the major news because of the topic. But apparently, there's a secretive feminist mafia group. That's what they call themselves. That's not me. And they're called the Clitorati. That is with a C. You did hear what you heard. And apparently they have a decentralized network of righteous chaos agents with a healthy diversity of backgrounds and demographics. This is from the Medium post, from Halfway Post. And they're out there to uncover bad things, bad people, whatever it happens to be in their feminine world. So what they did is they went online to dating services where they know people from the frozen place go. And they were trying to find their faces.
You know what? Do you mind if I take over? Because I'm Canadian. I don't care if they don't like what I say. So a bunch of feminists are catfishing people known to be ICE agents. Now, what they do is they get them on dating sites and they, you know, get this romance thing. They start talking to them and naturally they get sent dick pics. Well, this group, the Glitterati, is taking the dick pics and publishing them. They will be published on a website starting next week, displaying all the dick pics and names of ICE agents attached to the dick pics that the Glitterati agents chatted with, shall we say, and catfished over the last 6 months. If you're out there and you're an ICE agent listening to this show, bugger off. You shouldn't be here in the first place. But if you are, and you were talking to this really cool girl on a dating site, and you know, you thought she was interested in your dick pic, she was, but not for the reasons you thought she was.
Yes, which is, and we can normally also, we can also say there is a data leak from a whistleblower of 4,000 ICE names, addresses, all that kind of stuff. If you get this list, do not publish these names and addresses publicly. It is called doxing and it is illegal and they will come find you. But that being said, these names will probably be able to be put together with these lists. But, and by the way, that comes from a site called IceList, LST. You cannot get the list anymore in the US, but you cannot buy the US. No, it's banned in the US, not everywhere else.
By the way, we here at Webcology do not recommend you catfish ICE agents or collect pictures of their dicks or put up a website that matches pictures of ICE agents' penises with their names. We do not recommend you do that. In fact, we recommend against doing that. That's a bad, bad, bad thing to do. Don't do it.
For you.
But if you do it, there you go. I don't know what else to say. I don't want to encourage it, but I do think people should know that these things are happening in our world.
Yes, and also Jim's heavy warning is because if you do these things, you don't know what you're doing to keep yourself safe, you could go to jail very quickly.
Well, also, you are distributing sexually graphic material, identifying it with an individual, and putting it up online without their consent. That's really actually not cool, no matter who's doing it to whom. It's illegal, and it really should be illegal. The fact that I think ICE is the modern Nazi Gestapo doesn't change the fact that it's still illegal, and not cool, and actually damaging to these individuals to whom the dick pics are being published. But hey, ICE agents, those women aren't interested in you. They aren't. You know why? Because you're not a good person. But anyway, I digress. Glitterati is out there. You've been warned, by the way, men, don't send dick pics. The women didn't want them in the first place. If they did, they'll ask for them, then send them. But until then, don't. And if you do, you might be getting burned anyway.
And as a woman, I can tell you Jim's 100% correct. If we have not asked for it, we do not want it. It's not a thing we want on our phone.
What would you think about that? Okay, yeah. We are a little bit over time. We got to get out of here. On behalf of Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls in Las Vegas, it's Jim Hedger from Joey's Media in Toronto. You've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 15th of January, 2026. Special shout out to Wick Studio and Audience Keys, our sponsor, to Ricky and Brasco in the studio. Thank you, guys. And to Darren and Brandy in the front office, thank you too. And to the listeners, thank all of you. We love you. We love bringing information to you. To help us do that, do all the things about sharing and liking and honoring each other, and do that to us as well. If there's a bell to ring or a thing to push, a thumbs up to push, please do. We'd appreciate that. Share our link like you would a joint. Be kind. Be cool, rank well, and Christina and I will talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.